to the skies very high.
Hello and welcome to Talking PPG Radio. My name is Will Jones. The following information is not for training, but personal experiences and reflections on the world of power paragliding as I know. All guests of Talking PPG Radio have formed their own ideas, thoughts, and opinions on the world of power paragliding. They are not necessarily the thoughts or opinions of Talking PPG Radio. You may agree or disagree to what you hear. Talking PPG Radio is here to get conversations, thoughts, ideas about the world of power paragliding. Safety first. I highly recommend a qualified instructor. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy.
Go and see the stars, Milky Way.
Hey guys, welcome back. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Well, I have a couple things for you today. The first thing I have for you is Beery Miller. And the TX Wingnuts are going to have a fly-in coming up here October 23rd, 24th, and 25th in Galveston, Texas. Right on the beach there. So I got a chance to talk to Beery about the accommodations and, you know, what to expect. You can go to USPA.com to get more information. Beery's email address and phone number is there. You need to contact him for additional registration information, and so he'll have kind of a number of how many people are going to show up. You can also go to TX Wingnuts and you'll see how many people. There's already 39 people signed up to show up. There's a cool little video there about the fly-in, and gives you some more information, directions, area attractions, things like that. So we got a chance to sit down and talk, like I said, about that, and which is always good to talk to Beery. I hadn't talked to him in a while. I think the last time I talked to him was probably at the Beach Blast, probably. So, and the other thing I have for you is Paul Zarnicki at planetppg.com. Several months ago, he ended up taking vacation to the Czech Republic, and I just wanted to ask him a little bit about the trip. What was it like flying over and stuff? So we got a chance to talk about that. So that's all I got for you today. So sit back, relax, and thank you for listening. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio.
All right, guys, welcome back. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Well, in October, it looks like October 23rd, 24th, and 25th, Texas Wingnuts Beach Fly-In is coming up. It is their fifth annual, and the contact person is Beery Miller, and I wanted to give him a call so we could kind of ask a little bit information about it, camping and hotels and all that good stuff. So, Beery, how you doing, man? I hadn't talked to you in a while. I guess Beach Blast was the last time I really got a chance to talk to you.
It was good meeting you. I think my wife enjoyed meeting the radio voice behind the phone.
That is too funny, man. That is great. It was really nice meeting her, too. Really nice meeting her and you, man. And real quick, before we get on to the fly-in, what did you think about that Beach Blast, man?
I mean, it was really enjoyable debating on whether or not to be there again next year or try some other fly-ins. But, I mean, it was definitely probably the best fly-in that I've traveled to thus far. But I think the Monument Valley is going to top that this year for me.
You think so? Yeah, see, I talked to Joe about that, and, yeah, man, that's a trip to Monument. But, well, cool, man. I have to tell you, as far as fly-ins for me, of course, I'm like, well, you know, the Beach Blast was really good. You know, the hotel's right there, and it was a great family thing, too, if you had family. So it is hard to top, but there's a lot more fly-ins out there you definitely got to catch. So, well, very cool. So, hey, real quick, what's the distance for you and Monument?
For Monument, I think it's about 1,200 miles.
1,200,
so, yeah. It's almost northwest of us, so we'll go through Dallas and then on up through the Panhandle and follow the GPS wherever
you go. Well, I'll tell you what, yeah, I think it's like 15 for me, and it's like, oh, man, do I want to fly in. Actually, he said, I guess here recently after I talked to him, you actually can ship your equipment there if you want to fly in too. So that's another option that he ended up coming up with, which is cool too. But it seemed to me, I keep looking, it's almost like, man, that's like nowhere, middle of nowhere, you know? So do you really want to ship your equipment to the middle of nowhere? I don't know. So, well, cool, man. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll get right into it here. You got flying coming up, October 23rd, 24th, 25th. Wanted to call and ask some information about it, man. New person coming to your fly-in, what should I expect? Camping, hotels, anything that you can give the listeners as far as information about it?
Well, the fly-in, this is our fifth annual fly-in. We will be camping on the beach. Last year was following Hurricane Ike by about 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh, okay.
So rooms weren't really available. All the RV parks were all out of service, and it was about a crude of camping you'd have had, but it was very enjoyable sitting there underneath the stars, the campfires, and
yeah,
even the little Texas outhouses that we had. It's about as close to an outhouse as you could have.
Is that right? Yeah.
There was not a complaint anywhere.
That's so great.
And it's in Galveston, Texas? I'm sorry, I didn't even say that. Is that right?
Yeah, it's on the, depending upon how you look at the map and how you interpret it, it's called West Beach, but it's on the southern tip of Galveston Island.
Okay.
The northern tip of Galveston Island is called East Beach, so
okay.
It's called West Beach. We've got an area there on the very southern tip of the island that's probably 10 acres of just clear sand, perfect for setting up and just being away from everybody else in the area. Right now, we're going through a drought, so that sand is a little softer, which has created some driving issues getting to it.
Oh, okay.
But by October, we'll have got enough rains where it'll be back to hard pack sand.
Okay.
But the difference for people that have seen, I'll just use reference of Panama City sand from those that attended Beach Blast.
Oh, yeah.
Versus what's typically here in Texas, sand here is typically hard packed, where one may have really, I won't say struggled, one may have not liked walking too far in a soft sand at Beach Blast.
Right, yeah. I
mean, your vehicle and your motor will be right beside where you're launching from, and it's hard-packed, there's no sinking, and in a few steps you're up off the ground. It's more effortless in that respect.
Oh, okay. Well, cool.
Do have at least one RV area that is 2 miles, and we hope that the Galveston Island State Park will have its RV facilities open by October, but no promises on that. We do have hotels in Galveston, which is about a 20-minute drive. That's away from the LZ, which is about 15 miles.
Okay,
that's right. We can pick up a room there. Typically, those rooms are going to be several hundred dollars on a weekend.
They're oh, really? Be- okay. All right, yeah. Okay, so it's actually best just to plan to camp out. Yeah, okay.
And then there are options for, if there's large groups of people that are coming to the area, for renting basically a home for the weekend.
Oh.
You can get some of them. I just priced out one afternoon, sleeps 8 people, basically a house for four nights if somebody wanted to choose something like that. I think it ran about $1,200, but you split it 8 ways, and it's about $150 a person.
Oh, wow.
Four nights, which is not bad.
No, not at all. Yeah.
But if somebody's interested in that, they can either give me a call, or search for Galveston house rentals. And there are some available within about a mile and a half of the LZ that we'll be using.
That's really cool. Never even thought about that option. That's really cool.
Yeah. And there's a lot of nice places there that are still left after Hurricane Ike, where people just rent stuff out for the week or weekend, little parties and so forth. But we would have chose a site a little bit closer to there. However, they discouraged parking on the beach in some of those areas.
Oh.
So you do have to carry your, if you were going to launch there, you would need to carry your equipment to the beach.
Oh, okay. So, okay.
But typically, we've got winds off the water all day long. When the sun rises, which is about 6 o'clock in the morning, at least a half dozen pilots ready to launch at the crack of dawn, and people flying until sunset.
Wow.
All day long.
Wow, all day flying.
I mean, it is all day flying. If you want to fly 14 hours in a day and bring enough fuel, you can do that.
There you go. That is too cool, man. I went, and it's like the blast there, man. It's like, wow. I don't know. I wouldn't know how to act being able to fly all day. So is that actually your normal LZ where you guys fly out of, or is this?
We've got about three typical LZs we're using. We're using one just a little bit south of that right now to
okay.
get to the beach. Just a little bit easier.
A little easier.
It's harder pack sand at the moment.
Okay. All right.
And that one, I mean, I'll fly 40 miles down the beach one way on it. And I've come from our other LZ before to that same place.
Wow. So
there's a lot of range on beach. We've probably got, somebody wants to try it, somebody could do up to about a 50 or 60 mile cross country down the beach if they wanted to.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
You had a video that you did a decent cross country a couple months ago, I think. Is this where you took off from, or is that your other LZ?
I've done a video from this one as well, from the West Beach.
Yeah.
The Quintana's probably some of the more recent stuff.
Okay.
I mean, they're both reachable, and you cross on the same terrain on each one.
Each one, okay.
If you got the range.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's all beautiful. Shoreline. Typically, you don't have to worry about too many people on the beach in most of the areas.
Yeah.
So you can venture inland a little bit in a number of spots if thermal activity is not high.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or you can fly over some of the, I won't call it the dune area. Some places have water bayous because the ground is, in some places, not, most of the ground is not more than 5 feet above sea level.
Oh, okay.
So you get a lot of nice little water pockets and lakes and captive water areas that either have fish that are ready to jump or ducks, geese, pelicans, seagulls, and everything else.
A lot of nice things to see, it sounds like.
Keep you entertained.
The cost is going to be?
This year, we're going to charge $20 a person.
Okay.
This will be the first year we've actually charged anything. That's just to cover some, going to try to bring in some Texas outhouses to work that into it, because we are expecting a larger crowd. I'm expecting probably close to 100 people this year.
Oh, excellent.
Last year, we had about 40, 45 people that came in.
Yeah.
And I've had enough correspondence from people in the last 3 to 4 months to suggest that we're expecting a larger crowd, so we need to step up the...
Porta-potties?
Porta-potties.
Step up the porta-potties.
Now, that seems to be an important item for some people.
Absolutely.
I don't know why, but...
Absolutely. There you go. You're right. That's funny you say that. That's... You asked the question, there weren't enough porta-potties. It's like, you're kidding. That's funny. Guys, you can go to TX Wing Nuts, there's a link there where you can go sign up, and there's a really cool video too on there that you can check out, last year's fly-in, 08's fly-in, and it gives you directions and information, a little bit more information about the fly-in, and actually a nice picture with the GPS coordinates on it, so you can kind of take a look and see what it looks like. Looks like it's just looking at the video. Was looking at the video right before I called you. It looks like it's really relaxed and laid back. Atmosphere.
It is. I mean, at night. So, I mean, once the sun sets. I mean, this is a big campfire.
Yeah.
Everybody pulls a little chair up around the campfire and beverage of their choice. And,
there you go.
Tell stories until you can't take it anymore and turn in for the night. So
yeah.
I mean, it's. And the temperatures in October are typically running, averages about 71.
I was going to ask you.
Degrees.
Okay. Well, cool.
So.
Because we're looking for jackets this way, you know, in Kentucky, so.
Need jackets this past year.
Yeah.
But you do need sunscreen, and hopefully it won't be as wet as it was right after Hurricane Ike.
Hurricane Ike, right, yeah.
Because that created the mosquito populations.
Oh, yes. Wow. Yeah, since they're plenty wet down there then. So.
Yeah, but we don't expect a hurricane, and if we do, then we'll play it by ear after that.
This is not a good time to fly, guys. Just button down. Yeah.
Just a little bit windy.
What about food? Is this bring your own, or are you guys going to, would there be anything provided, where people could donate, maybe something provided, or basically you guys going to go out and, you know, at night, I don't know where the nearest locations as far as, like, restaurants and stuff are?
Typically what we've done is cooked our own. I mean, everybody brings their own food, and we start throwing it on the grill, and anybody that's ever come to any of our events or been around the Wing Nuts know that always seems to be extra food around. Nobody has starved yet.
Wait, you see, I think I could probably lose a little myself, but, you know, hey, that's a whole other story. It's funny.
Between the boudin we cooked, sausage, I mean, we had venison tenderloin, venison steaks.
Oh, wow.
Venison sausage, other meats and stuff like that. I mean, kept everybody going. I mean, there was
plenty to eat. Yeah, wow, that's great. Okay, that's one of the, you see, people don't know if there's a place to use a restroom, where are they going to sleep, and something to eat. Okay, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. I mean, yeah, you definitely need to bring your own food, because otherwise you're going to drive into Galveston if you want to sit down at a restaurant, or turn and go south. That's your other option.
Okay.
Which is 15 to, there'd be restaurants 15 to 20 miles that direction as well. I'm hoping to organize a cross-country flight.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Going, this would be Saturday, probably late morning to about noontime, flying south down the shoreline. And barring any unforeseen problems, there's a place or two down there that we can fly to and eat. Last year, some of the folks flew north up the shoreline, grabbed something to drink before coming back, and I think they missed. I didn't join them on that one because I was working with some students, but some folks misjudged how far away it was and how much fuel that
fuel really had. Yeah.
So we had to send a vehicle out to retrieve a few people, but
that's great. Yeah,
typically, I mean, if you can carry enough fuel to 15 miles out and back each way, you can get to you can fly to your dinner, or if you want to.
Oh, very cool. That's cool. Well, shoot. Let's see. Well, anything else, man? I'm trying to think of any other questions that people would like.
A number of people have probably seen some postings of stuff I've made about flying from another beach. We call it Quintana. That's about 15 to 18 miles down the shore.
Yeah.
And we can reach that LZ, but nobody will have to worry about landing in an area if they're flying a shoreline about any kind of retrieval issue from our west beach.
Oh, you'll be able to retrieve them. Okay.
Yeah, you can fly 15 miles north or fly about 20 miles south. If you ever had a motor problem or ran out of fuel or anything like that, somebody can drive up right beside you, pick you up, and bring you right back to the LZ. Now, if you wanted to extend it beyond 20 miles south, then there's a couple of remote islands, and we may have to secure a boat, but hopefully nobody...
Good Lord. Wow. You know,
I fly those areas, but I'm one of the few brave ones that's willing to take those risks.
Yeah, I remember seeing some of the videos and looking at some of the postings and stuff you made. It's like, wow. Yeah, you're like the long-distance cross-country king. It's funny because they were even talking about that at the beach bus. It's like, long-distance king, Barry Miller. Like, wow.
Well, somebody beat me at Beach Blast.
Did they?
And I forget the gentleman's name, but he was flying a Fresh Breeze Solo. And I think he flew 35 to 38 miles.
Oh, wow.
One way before he turned around and came back. But he did refuel coming back.
Oh, okay.
But I've got him beat now, and I didn't have to refuel.
Okay, all right. It's like, wow. Yeah, they told me that. I was like, man, because I knew you were, you know, just listening and, like I said, seeing some of the videos and stuff from your, I love cross country myself too. So it's like, wow, that's cool that you can basically go that far and have no problem retrieving somebody. So that is really cool. Man, wow. Guys, don't forget to sign up. Like I said, you can go to txwingnuts.com. You can also go to uspa.org. There's information on there too. Barry's contact information, telephone number, and also his email. If you have any questions, give him a call. At all, give him a call, and I'm sure he'll be more than happy to answer. Now, you would like for everybody to kind of pre-register, I'm pretty sure, so you can get a pretty good count of how many people's coming?
Yeah, I haven't made an announcement yet. I was actually going to wait for this interview here first.
Okay.
Before I posted a note, but I will be posting a note there, and pre-registration will try to give us an idea of what kind of head count to expect. I do know that talking with pilots, I mean, we do have some pilots that appear to be coming in from the Carolinas, as well as up pretty far up north, as well as some folks from the Midwest. This is going to be turning into one of the bigger events. I mean, it's very relaxed.
Okay.
fly and be safe.
Be safe, okay. Not necessarily a whole lot of activities or anything like that. Just like you said, just kind of lay back, relax, fly when you want to, eat when you want to type deal is what you're...
Yeah, I mean, we'll have pilots that have very, I'll say probably some may be in the 10 to 15 flight experience. The pilots that's been flying 5 to 10 years with hundreds, if not thousands of hours under their belt.
So. Yeah. Another good place to get some good information, you new guys out there, which I've been kind of preaching here lately about going to the fly-ins, and because you learn so much from people when you go to the fly-ins. So,
the nice thing about coming at the beach, and especially from those that haven't ever been on the beach and been trained inland, when you're at the beach there and the wind's coming off the water and you got a 7-8 mile an hour breeze, I mean, when you pull that wing up, unless you've got an old doggy wing, that wing is going to come up over your head and it's just going to sit there.
Yeah.
And just says, all right, when are you ready to go? And you're, it's the easiest, one of the easiest areas to learn to begin kiting and flying your wing, and where you're not battling inland conditions where you got thermals that's causing winds to change direction every couple minutes and you're fighting those issues. I mean, you really learn how to control your wing very quickly. I mean, that's why in our area, pilots progress very quickly with their skills because they learn how to handle the wing, and then they deal with the thermal activity, and then they understand what's going on.
What's going on? Yeah.
And mastered the wing, I guess mastered it a little bit better than some of your average pilots.
Oh yeah, well, that's funny that you say that, because that's the thing that kind of intimidated me at the beach blast. You know, I've been flying inland Midwest. If there's wind, there's probably a storm brewing. You know. And or it's crazy wind and you don't want to be up there. So, and I was looking, and if you guys, if you want a really good example, go to txwingnut.com and go to the click onto the fly-in in the toolbar there, and there the video, the YouTube video, there's a guy there, like you said, that wing came up and it was just standing there. And until he got prepared to make that turn and go, that wing did not, I mean, it was there, which is like, wow. Yeah, not used to that at all. That's crazy.
Trike pilots will find it a lot simpler to launch, and little smooth laminar winds. Typically in our area, I guess most of the trike pilots are probably don't launch anything over about 8 mile an hour.
Some people
may be comfortable handling a little bit stronger winds. Again, that's where the wing comes up, sits over your head, and waits for you to tell it to go.
Yeah, that's cool. Just real quick, it's funny because I was looking at some of the general rules, guys. Carry a cell phone or FRS radio on channel 15. And why I bring that up, I had a motor out at the Kankakee, and my cell phone was dead. I didn't have my FRS radio. And just laughing. I'm sitting here laughing about that inside. I was like, oh, okay, there you go. Hey.
This whole area where we'll be at is got good cell phone coverage within 20-mile shoreline radius, so there's not an issue there. Now, if you've, this particular tip of the Galveston Island is actually probably about half to three-quarters of a mile wide at the area where we're at. So then there's a bay that's inland side of the island. We don't typically venture inland in that particular area because it's remotely, I mean, it would require a boat if you went down on the other side of the bay there, or some of the bay areas. It would be a long extraction point.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Would you have a pilot briefing and everything, or some type of maps or something kind of showing guys what's good, what's not?
There'll be briefings. Fly this way, fly that direction, and enjoy. And it's also the site where I've been to 12,000 feet. So far, nobody else has tried to attempt to break my altitude record in that spot. So.
Oh, my gosh, dude. 12? How cold 12, was it?
12,000 feet. So.
Were you, like, do you have your polar bear equipment on? So you... I'm thinking, how cold was it? Oh, my God.
That day was a July date, I think, when I launched and flew up to 12,000. I was in T-shirt and short pants, and it dropped about 45 degrees.
Oh, my gosh.
But I started from Houston temperature, and it was 95 degrees. So
yeah.
It was about 50, 51 degrees when I measured up there. But it was still pretty darn cold.
Yeah. Holy smokes. Okay. One other thing, guys. Suggested equipment, mosquito repellent. May or may not need be necessary, so don't forget that. Cool.
We actually did need it this past year. And
yeah.
The only time it was really actually needed was if you were outside your tent after dark.
After dark,
Sitting around the campfire, it was never a problem. They've seen the buzz around away from the campfire. So.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. I tell you what, I'll probably get back in touch with you about this maybe a week or so before it happens and see if anything's changed. Anything that may be added or, you know, had to be moved or something like that. So everybody will know about the changes and everything if there are any. So if you want to come back on, you have something else you need to get out there, don't be afraid to give me a buzz and we'll talk about it, man. Thank you for letting the guys know a little bit more about your fly in there.
All right. Well, thank you for asking me to be on.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, shoot. Always looking for good people, great people. So, you know, and like I said, it's just trying to get some information out there to these guys. So, well, guys, this is Will Jones talking PPG Radio. Like I said, go to TX Wing Nuts for more information about the 5th annual beach fly-in at West Beach in Galveston, Texas. You can also go to uspa.org and get information there. Well, Barry, thanks a lot, man. I greatly appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Well, there you go, guys. I'd like to thank Barry for coming on, giving us information about the fly-in. That is the 2009 5th annual, I guess is what I should say. It is his fifth event. So, Texas Wing Nuts Beach Fly-In, October 23rd, 24th, and 25th, Galveston, Texas, West Beach. Go to USPA.org and you can get the direct links or some information about the fly-in. Barry's number and also email addresses on there if you need some more registration details. Pilots, you should actually register at www.texaswingnuts.com and you'll see the fly-in link. Just kind of click on that. And like I said, if you have any questions, give him a call. Don't forget the fee will be $20. Basically, just covering the cost of putting one together, like the porta potties and stuff, which you heard. So, sounds like it's going to be pretty cool. Great event. Laid back, relaxed. So, and beach flying. So, what I have for you next is Paul Zarnicki, planetppg.com. Just kind of sit back, relax. We just basically talk about his trip to the Czech Republic. And it's pretty cool just to hear what it was like over there flying. So, Will Jones, talking PPG Radio. Thanks.
Okay, guys. Will Jones, talking PPG Radio. Thought I'd call a regular on this show, Paul Zarnicki down at planetppg.com. If you like into the sport like I am, you kind of go to different websites and stuff like that. Well, sometime a couple weeks ago, I was going to call Paul and just say, hey, what's going on, and get on his website like I do all the time. And somebody had a nice trip or went overseas and just wanted to get some information about his trip. I'll let him tell you about it. How you doing, Paul? Welcome back, man.
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
You took a trip, man. Why don't you tell everybody where you went to?
Oh, we had a great time. The really nice folks over at Nirvana asked us to come over and to check out the product they have there at Nirvana as well as fly, and we got some beautiful flights in over a 7-day period where we would fly along the Czech Republic border areas with Slovakia in the southeast corner of Czech Republic, and just had a wonderful time flying different wings, different cross-country routes, or just playing around in the acres and acres of huge wheat fields where large bucks and other deer were running around. It was just really, really fabulous.
You were hating it, I could tell.
Oh, it was terrible. Absolutely terrible.
It made you do it.
That's yeah, right. Had to do it.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys, you can go to planetpp.com. He's already got pictures up of his trip, man. And He looked like he was having too much fun. Looked like the countryside was beautiful. So they invited you over, so you didn't have to take any equipment. You actually ended up getting a chance to fly their stuff, right?
That's exactly right, and that's what was really interesting about the trip. Not only the beautiful flying area all around the Southeast Czech Republic over there near Zlin, but to fly the Nirvana products, the Simonini-based Rodeo and Instinct, which are really, really nice machines.
Yeah, I was looking at that Instinct. That's really nice looking. I got a chance down like at the Beach Blast to see the Rodeo. I don't think you guys had the Instinct there, though, did you? I can't remember.
Correct, we did not. Yeah. They're just now producing that. And what's interesting about it is that those cage sections are interchangeable, so that all you need is one spare, and it can fit anywhere in the cage. It's also carbon fiber, and it's very, very nice.
Yeah, it looks like it's a nice machine. Nice machine. So tell me, man, what was the flying like? I don't even know what the rules and stuff are over there. I mean, you said you were there for 7 days. What'd you do? I mean, I know you went flying.
Well,
I mean,
basically what we did is we followed Pavel. Pavel runs Nirvana, and he was flying around very quickly on a small 16 or 18 square meter wing and flying cross countries. He'd zip back and forth, and in fact, tonight I'll be putting up one of the videos where you can see how fast he is over there. It's just absolutely gorgeous flying over all these pastures and inland, and we would land out after about a 50 to 70 kilometer cross-country flight and have a wonderful lunch prepared out wherever we went. They were great hosts for us. We've even got some pictures on the website of some of the different foods that we had there, because we definitely tried to eat our way across Europe.
Yeah.
We got to spend a couple of days in London and Bishop Stortford on the way back, and got to enjoy the UK pub life there for a short period before coming back as well.
Who'd you go with? You went. Who'd you end up going with?
Doug Falwell.
Doug Falwell, okay.
He's in Tampa.
Oh, okay. All right. I can't remember. I wonder if I met him down at the Beach Blast. I can't remember. Met so many people.
There.
Met so many people. Wow. Well, very cool, man. I mean, well, give me some stories. I mean, what stood out to you? Beautiful countryside. What was the highlight for you there?
Well, I would say the highlight was getting to fly with everybody over there and to see how passionate they were as well. If you look on the website, for example, you'll see Jerry with his rodeo.
Yeah.
It's a fellow sitting with a cowboy hat in the back of a pickup truck. Well,
yes.
Jerry is an actual cowboy living over there in Czech Republic. And what he does is he takes care of horses for pay. So they bring their horses to his property, ranch basically, and he boards their horses. It's a great business here, and he's really enjoying it. When he's not having a problem with the horses, then he's out flying his rodeo. And you can see him there. He made this little bracket and everything.
Yeah.
Jerry was flying some cross countries with us, and he had the true spirit of flying. We took this one particular flight, and he was flying a 26 square meter wing, so he was a lot slower than us.
Right.
And he was way behind us, and it was pretty bumpy and stuff by the time we finally landed in this huge pasture overlooking this town way down in the valley. And Jerry finally landed. In fact, I've got the video of him on part two landing in this huge field, and just how happy he was, because lunch has already been cooking for another half hour, and he wanted to get to it. You know, he's ready.
Yeah.
So it was great.
It looked like you guys were having a whole lot of fun. And you have, you said you have one, two, three videos that you actually took when you were talking about posting?
I have 45 minutes of usable video.
Mm-hmm.
I've cut everything down, all the wiggles and jiggles, at least as much as I can. So that way, it looks like there's going to be, out of that, probably about 3 6-minute videos that we'll have, and I'll be putting them out the next day or so.
Oh, that's too cool. Looking at the...
Now,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm sorry, one of the things that was really cool to see was the four-stroke that Nirvana had.
I was getting ready
and
to say that.
Very, very
yeah.
quiet. And, in fact, there's a picture of one of the four-strokes there, which is a two-cylinder four-stroke
mm-hmm.
that they're testing with the Nirvana carbon trike.
Yes. Now, they are going to have a backpack one, too? Is that what you think you alluded to?
Oh, yeah, they do have a single-cylinder four-stroke for the backpack, and it can be had later on in the year on the Instinct frame.
Oh, wow.
So it would have the carbon fiber center spokes and everything on out.
Did they have a running?
Again, everything's interchangeable.
They had a running model of it? Really?
Oh, yeah. In fact, Pavel flew it. I did not get to fly that four-stroke, but Pavel did fly that two or three times while we were there.
Really? Okay. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Another four-stroke.
It uses no gas. It uses next to nothing compared to the Simonini.
Did they say what kind of weight or it was going to be? Or I'm trying to think because of weight to power. I know the what's the other four-stroke backpack that's out there that a lot of guys are like the weight to power was always the issue. You got to be certain weight for it to be within your range. So I wonder if they're really dealing with that or you always have to take that in consideration when you get a four-stroke. So.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really get a hold of exactly what the different research and development issues are to bring a four-stroke out that's got the correct power to weight ratio that you can actually use.
Yeah.
But I would imagine that when it is released, it'll be of sufficient power and strength that people will be liking it. I know that it doesn't use any gas. I'm not kidding.
Right.
We flew across country, and I landed with 1 liter left, and I was flying a rodeo, out a rodeo. Ryan from Paradrenaline USA, who has joined in with Bill Crosby's wife to continue that business.
Excellent.
We all were there.
Okay.
And the rodeo just was on dry. We had run through our 7-8 liters, and he still had plenty of gas.
Let's go back.
That's great. With the four-stroke, it was amazing the difference.
Wow, that's cool, man.
Now, one of the interesting things, too, one of the trips that we took, we were every morning we were getting up at 5 in the morning, and we would go out to the airfield by 6 o'clock. So we're actually standing on the tarmac at 6 o'clock.
Ready to go.
And this is an ultralight airport, so it has a runway probably, I don't know, maybe 1,000 feet. 1,500 feet long, and it's paved. So they have a lot of ultralights there, just immaculate, clean hangar, everything totally clean. And we would take off as soon as we can, maybe 6:30, we're actually getting up. And we took off this one particular morning. In fact, if you look at the website, it says foggy 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
on the picture.
Yes, uh-huh.
Now, if you see that picture, you can barely see 20 feet behind me.
Oh, you're really?
It's all whited out, basically. You can just barely see the wing back there, which is 20, 30 feet back. And Pavel laid it out in the GPS coordinates and set it all up, so let's go. So as soon as we took off, immediately, basically, whited out for about 10 seconds, and then you're above the clouds.
Oh, my God.
And we had a spectacular 65 or 70-kilometer flight into Slovakia and back, and then at the end did we break through. There was a big open in the clouds. We broke down and went into this little valley and landed and then had our lunch, and the lunch was at this very, very old house that used to be a mill, one of five mills in that town.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Soviets came through, they had destroyed all the mills, and they basically pieced this one back together, and we had a absolutely wonderful lunch there, and there's the picture of the old water wheel there.
Oh, okay.
The big water wheel.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm seeing that,
On the video, you'll see some other pictures of us, going to that house on, I think it's video 3, I have to look back to see. But it's just an awesome thing. There was also an interesting side trip to a bicycle rim manufacturer plant that works right along the Slovakian border, and it's in a little deep valley, and all the buildings are cold concrete, gray, Soviet style.
Yeah.
And we were told that the place used to be a munitions plant, tucked away, a munitions plant.
Really? Wow.
But it's been converted over to bicycle rim place that actually puts out 100,000 bicycle rims per week.
Bicycle rims?
I've got video of it. It'll blow your minds. Rims stacked up, and these guys are in some ways, fairly well automated. In other ways, they are making do with brute force, and it's absolutely amazing what they're doing over there.
Bicycle rims. Wow.
Bicycle rims.
That's amazing, man.
Yep. There was another trip that we took to Comorins, and I'm sure I said that wrong. It is a town that is to the west of Zlin, Z-L-I-N. Zlin is pretty much where we were starting to take off. The Stipa Airport was just east, northeast, I should say, of Zlin. And one of our trips, and it'll be on video too, we took off and went basically right over the large town with Pavel, following Pavel the whole way, of course.
Yeah.
Had a beautiful tour of Zlin and then over to Komarits. I'm sure, again, I'm saying it wrong, but a beautiful palace with the gardens cut out in the foliage. Just unbelievable. And from there, again, we landed in this huge wheat field and had a nice lunch when we landed. They were very accommodating, and it seems like that people were going out of their way to, you know, help us out, or come check out what's going on, or just to see everything. We also saw some hot air balloons that we chased. So we got to fly up and around some hot air balloons. That's always fun.
So, now if somebody wanted to take a trip like this, I mean, I know that you, those guys invited you over anything, so you would recommend, actually, if you were ever able to get in this area to fly, it would be a great, seems like it would be a great place to fly, man.
You know, it's just absolutely gorgeous, and I'm sure that there are, you know, hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of other sites just like this that are tucked away in Europe that us Americans never even think about.
Right. Yeah.
You know, these guys have some beautiful flying sites over here, and, you know, and what's interesting is that because of the way the place is built over there, you know, you've got old and new. Mm-hmm. And then country very, very close together. We're here in America, it's spread out quite
spread
a bit.
Spread out, yeah. What was the flight rules? I mean, you know, we deal with 103 stuff. I mean, what could you do and couldn't do?
Well,
what was the differences, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, basically there, one thing is that the government supports ultralight activity quite a bit. In fact, there is substantial incentives for companies to get into the ultralight industry, from what I understand.
Wow.
In fact, if you think about it, name all the companies that are making wings in Czech Republic.
Czech Republic, you're right, yeah.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
A lot
right.
of them. And they're quality wings. You know, every one of those manufacturers there in the Czech Republic are making quality wings. They really are. They've got a lot of R&D and government support, and they love to fly.
Yeah, wow. And seeing these guys fly, some of the videos of these Nirvana guys, they just are fearless. It's like, wow.
Yeah, it was interesting. Pavel and his team won the first place in the Czech Open, and they had a fairly good showing in the World Air Games, just like Jeff and Chad and the R guys did.
Mm-hmm. Well, very cool, man. Yeah, I had.
So did you see the picture of the still?
The
very, very proud farmer had a still that he's making his plum drink with, and just absolutely gorgeous still. I mean, anybody from East Tennessee would be proud of this still.
You think? How about Kentucky?
Kentucky.
Oh, yeah, we do a lot of burping here in Kentucky, so, yeah.
There you go.
That's amazing, man. It's stainless and a lot of copper, and wow. Did he show you how it worked? Was it fired up for you? Did he,
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, it never runs. It's just,
well,
it's
for looks. Funny. We actually landed there, and I guess because we went downwind, and we were quite surprised at our top speed downwind, but we got there very, very quickly, and when we landed, and so we had all this food laid out, and they're passing out these little brandy shots that are made, you know, right there.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, you have to drink it. You can't say no.
There you go.
You know, it would be an affront, so
yes,
you have to drink it.
Exactly.
And you take that little shot, and it blows the back of your head off.
Oh, really?
And
wow, pure.
And then you look at the clock, and you say, my God, it's only 9:30 in the morning.
There you go. Oh, shoot, dude. That is crazy. Yeah. That is crazy.
Lots of fun.
Man, it looks like, well, that, it's funny, like I said, I got on your website, and it's like, wait a minute, and you were showing, actually, pictures of the manufacturing, where they manufacture the Nirvana stuff at? How was their, yeah. what did their area look like? I mean, it was their manufacturing area. I always like.
Well,
one
of the things that really surprised me is that it's actually cleaner than my kitchen floor.
Oh, really?
You know, even the area around the milling processes or mm-hmm. drilling or anything like that, it's just totally clean in the shop, and that's kind of surprising.
Really? Wow. Okay. Are they working on anything? Anything like new? I know you said the four stroke is probably the newest thing. I'm sure they're always R&D in their stuff, and
yep. And they're working on electric as well.
They are. Okay.
They're working on electric.
Wow. Okay. I think that's the one of the biggest things everybody's working on these days, as far as the manufacturers and stuff.
Yep. The Instinct frame will be able to have the electric, the four stroke, or the Simonini.
Oh, really? That interchange?
Tuned.
Wow.
Yep, interchange. And the Simonini motor is tuned for a very wide power band. It's not tuned for peak RPM and peak power. It's tuned much like the Fresh Breeze, so that it has a very nice wide power band.
Mm, sweet.
It's a very usable power band.
Yeah. What about their wings? Which wing did you get to fly while you were over there?
Mostly the Katana.
The Katana, yeah.
Yeah, mostly okay. that.
Wow.
And we had some really nice flights.
It looked like
the
you had a good time.
The smallest was a 22 meter, and then the biggest was a 26 meter.
26 meter. Wow, excellent.
Yeah, that I was flying.
Excellent, man. Looks like you had a good time. I like I said, I had got on your website and saw that you were gone, and it was like, man, jealousy just kind of came over me. But you know, that's okay.
Well, you know, somebody's got to do it.
You know, I was thinking
somebody's
that.
Somebody's got
to
do it.
Just bring back a report for me. That's all I ask. That's great, man.
No doubt about it.
That's
no doubt.
Great.
Well, we're now that we're doing the importation for Nirvana with
okay.
the. With Ryan out on the West Coast,
yes,
you know we're going to have a lot of either rodeos or Instincts coming up later when they're finished the R&D on that.
Okay,
they're in testing. We've seen them, we've flown them, the Instinct, but they're just not ready to bring them to the United States until they get up enough done in Europe.
Is that looking at the picture of the Instinct? No net? Or are they going to put a net on it, or is that just?
Yeah, he wasn't using a net. We weren't using the net on the machine.
Yeah.
Granted, it is dangerous in that configuration.
Yeah.
But that's the way Pavel pretty much flew it.
Did it? Okay.
There is a net that goes in there. They were making changes so much on that they just took it out. And
I
the
understand.
Netting, to be honest with you, is almost invisible. You can't really see.
Yeah.
This wing, this motor is really not for, I would think, you know, any beginners.
Any beginner, yeah, right. Yeah, it looks sexy, dude. I mean, it looks sweet. I mean, that is a
sweet
looking
Yeah, Ryan did a
machine.
Good job posing with it, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Well, we all got to fly it. It was wonderful.
It looks good. It looks really good.
Got those little wheels on there so you can just wheel it along. And
really? I don't
fact,
see. Well, let me look
Yeah,
and
look
see.
At one of the pictures there. I think it says... right side view. If you look at that picture, it says right side view. You'll
okay.
see the
you'll see
wheels
the on it. Okay.
On it, and basically they fold up out of the way. It's like little teeny roller skate wheels.
Oh, sweet!
And
okay.
they fold up out of the way when you're flying, but when you're done flying, you just pull them down and they lock in, and then you can just drag it behind you.
Oh, okay, okay. Oh man, that's great, man. Like I said, I wanted to ask you about your trip and everything. Anything new going on down?
There's a possibility that the airport may be sold.
I did see the video on that, the clip there. Hopefully nothing's going to change for you down there.
Well, the only thing that'll change is that we may be moving to a bigger facility. In fact, just to the north of our location, there's this great 20-acre field that's used to be a tree farm.
Uh-huh.
It's the very north, basically, tip of Pine Island, so that we'll be even more surrounded by water. And it's a twice as large facility, and we can start new with new structures and things. So things
okay.
are looking pretty good for Planet PPG here in Southwest Florida. We'll have canoeing. You can canoe right from there and get out to open water. We're going to have camping along the edges all the way of the 20-acre facility.
Wow.
You'll be able to either camp in trailers, cabins, or bring your own RV in slots with palm trees around it. We're going to have landing in any direction in a 20-acre field. We'll be able to have also, you know, a hangar facility locked up, and we'll probably have some really small ultralights in there too.
Very cool.
So it's going to be a bigger and better thing, you know, if the Pine Island Airport gets purchased. It looks like it's going to be.
Yeah.
And we'll have
to. That's pretty fast too, man. I'm really surprised. That, I don't know how long it's been up, but I figured the way real estate or the way the economy, I'm surprised that it was purchased even this fast. So that's really, I guess, good for the owner.
Yeah, I think that they're probably negotiating a hard bargain and all that. But
yeah.
It's really prime property, Pine Island Airport.
Yeah.
It's an east-west runway, 2,700-foot grass runway. Absolutely, you know, really, really nice.
Beautiful,
even
man.
For a twin-engine Cherokee 6 that comes in and parks and goes back and forth from Bermuda and stuff.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
You know, there we have basically 8-acre square and then the runway. Now we would have 20 acres, so we could take off and land any direction.
Anywhere,
and have plenty of area.
Excellent. That sounds good, man. Sounds really good.
We plan to continue and have bigger and better fly-ins. I think that everybody learned a lot from the Beach Blast, and that luxury accommodations sure are nice.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's used to camping, just like the Paul Anthem PPG for Moron video.
Yeah.
And how funny that was.
Yeah.
That's camping right there at the, next to the pool.
Yeah. It was great.
Oh, man, that was hysterical.
Yeah.
I've been
seeing him a lot here the last several fly-ins, man. What a great guy. And it's just amazing how his mind just starts clicking when he's got this idea of a video. And it's like to sit there and witness and kind of, you know, help him out a little bit. It's like, wow. So very cool. So I'm going to get a chance to talk to him soon. So, well, cool, man. We'll definitely be in touch. And thank you for your time. Shoot. Relax, man. Sound like you had a long day.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yep, look forward to the upcoming videos, 1, 2, and 3. There's 3 different parts, and I got a little teaser at the end of part 1 that'll ensure that you'll see parts 2 and 3.
Well, guys, make sure you go to planetppg.com and check out all the stuff he has on there, and pictures of his Czech Republic visit, videos up and coming, and just a whole lot of information there. So, Paul, I appreciate your time again, and I'm sure we will chat again, my friend.
I appreciate it, Will. You have a really nice night.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Well, all right. Thanks again, Paul, from planetppg.com for coming on and giving us our detailing a little bit about his trip that he went on. Sounded like it was a very nice trip. The pictures and the video just confirmed it's such a beautiful place to fly. The cool thing is, it sounds like PPG and just ultralights in general have just a lot more freedom and support as far as flying over there than we do here in the States. So, also, I'd like to thank Barry for coming on. Information about the beach fly-in, Galveston, Texas. txwingnuts.com for more information, uspa.org for more information. Barry's contact information is on there. If you have any questions, I'm sure he'd be more than happy to answer any question that you actually have that I did not ask him. So, and that's about it, guys. Just sitting back watching the big list and looking for more things to talk about and people to talk to. If you have any suggestions, like to come on, give me a call. My contact information is at www.talkingppgradio.com. So hopefully this time next week I will be heading back from the beach run in Michigan with Terry Lucky. If you go back to the episodes there, the last episode I talked to Terry about the beach run, and can't wait. Hope to see you guys there. Always great meeting new people, and thank y'all for listening. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio.